All right, the next presentation is Influence of Chemical and Cultural Management Strategies on Annual Bluegrass Populations on Golf Course Putting Greens. Kay Hahn, Jay Kaminsky, Penn State University, and Kay Hahn will be presenting.
Thank you for the introduction. 오늘 저는 골프장 퍼팅그린에 있는 것에 대해서 화학적, 재료적인 것에 대해서 하려고 그러는데요. I'm just kidding. I'm going to speak in English. So today I'd like to share my results from my master thesis project. Annual bluegrass is known to be a most distributed turf grass species around the world, and is generally considered an undesired species on creeping bank grass. Because of the poor heat and drought tolerance, prolific seedhead producer, which affects the playability in the spring, and highly susceptible to various pathogens such as brown Dallas spot, summer patch, and other diseases. And also, it doesn't tolerate very well on a hot summer and cold winter. And here's a picture of annual bluegrass and creeping bank grass. This is one of the severe situation. As you see, the quality of the putting green is reduced because of lack of uniformity and variation in color and reduced in smoothness. And this call and this in addition to and then there's a, as I mentioned earlier, it's susceptible to various pathogens. As you've seen here, is anthracnose seen here. In severe cases like this, even with a selective fungicide, it's hard to control. Also, annual bluegrass is also susceptible to abiotic stresses, such as winter kill shown in this picture. This golf course superintendent battles every year to keep the annual bluegrass alive after the winter hardness. There are two main annual bluegrass management cultural strategies going on. First being cultural. Cultivation practice and timing is very critical. Oftentimes when the golf course superintendent like to aerify how time their golf course greens, often they tend to do it when the golfers are not around. So it has to be around the fall time, which happened to be a germination time of poa, and also aggressive vertical mowing can disturb the seed banks in the soil, which can promote annual bluegrass germination as well. And the fertility also roles a key role in cultural practice. The couple study found that nitrogen levels, when it comes to nitrogen, the creeping bank grass favors generally requires lower nitrogen requirements over annual bluegrass. And also, lower pH favors more creeping bank grass growth over annual bluegrass. In the phosphorus level, Riley et al. In 2005 found that there's a positive correlation relationship between phosphorus level and poa population. In iron rates, and Zoom and Mancino in 2001 found that creeping bank grass can withstand high rates of iron rates over annual bluegrass. With the cultural practice, there are also chemical practices. The plant growth regulators are widely used on golf courses. The main ones are Packer Futures and Fluoropyrimidol that are used. Those two repeated plant growth regulators that can it may need a lot of replication, repeated applications. Which may cause a discoloration of it. And also, there's a pre and post herbicide that's available. But since it's a label issue and it's phytotoxicity issue, it's become a problem on putting greens. So this emerging annual bluegrass management philosophy that's arising in California to Wisconsin to Minnesota on selective golf courses. The program promotes the low seasonal nitrogen rates, also high ferrous sulfate rate, and repeat use of type PGR. With these chemical components, they also promote the minimal disturbance, meaning they only like to stall time to vent their greens, no pulling course, no hollow time. Acidification theory, which can favor creeping bank grass more than annual bluegrass, and routine top dressing to dilute the thatch building. In this philosophy, annual bluegrass suppression philosophy, these programs are becoming popular, but there's little to no information, research-based information available for golf course superintendents. So long-term effect of this program is still remains unknown. My objective study was to evaluate the influence of nitrogen, iron, and various PGRs on the population dynamics of mixed stands of annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass. Also, identify any potential benefits or side effects of this program. Moving on to materials and methods. For nitrogen, we use ammonium sulfate for our nitrogen source. 24 being low and 107 being high kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And the second year, we use 24 as low, same, stay the same, and high, we bump it up to 144 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And ferrous sulfate rate was 0 to 12 to 49 kilogram iron per hectare every 3 weeks. It went out same with the various Pangrass regulator, triaxial ethyl, and fluoropyrimidyl. The field study was conducted at Valentine Turfgrass Research Center in University Park, Pennsylvania. It was conducted in the L93 creeping bentgrass. In the beginning, there was a 75% of creeping bentgrass and about 25% annual bluegrass within the plots. The factorial design was nitrogen by iron by PGR. There are 4 replications in a range of randomized complete block design. Plots were measured from 0.9 by 1.8 meters, and it was applied in 10 gallons per thousand. Treatments were applied May through October 2010 and 2011 every 3 weeks. There was a limited soil disruption. We didn't do the hollow time. We didn't pull the course. We only saw time to vent the green. We did routine top dressing every weekly. So mowing heights were from 2.5 to 3.2 millimeter, and no supplemental nutrients were received within this plot. Data collections. We collected numerous data, first being a full annual population, and quality color was also rated visually. Soil pH, NDVI, true firm, and they're all rated. And tissue nutrient analysis and organic matter will be analyzed at the end of the study. And for this presentation, I'd like to focus on Poa population. Poa annual population was assessed with this special grid that we made. There are 253 intersections in it. Each Poa annual that's landed at the intersection, we counted to a percentage, and then it was put into data. Here's a seasonal Poa annual population. This is throughout the whole year, 2010 and 2011. Please note this is the average of all the months that we did. In 2010, there's significant difference in nitrogen and plain growth regulator. But in 2011, there was difference in all 3 main factors, nitrogen, plain growth regulator, and iron, and also looking at the interaction between nitrogen and PGR. Moving on to graphs, in 2010 nitrogen rates, I'm going to set up this graph. On the y-axis is the poa annual population percentage, and the y-axis is nitrogen rate, left being a high and right being a low. As you see, there is a significant difference that was found under different nitrogen rates. And also in 2010, plant growth regulator, y-axis being poa annual population and x-axis being non-treated, triaxial and fluoropyrimidyl. And this year we found that non-treated ones are significantly different than triaxial, but when you actually look at the number of percentage, there's less than 5% difference. But also fluoropyrimidyl had a significant less poa annual percentage than triaxial ethyl or untreated. So this is 2010. In 2011, note that non and triaxial ethyl poa population increased, and they about the those percentage they about to stay the same. There's no significant difference in those two. But fluoropyrimidyl had the least poa annual population within the plots. Moving on to 2011 nitrogen and iron data, looking at interaction. Y-axis being poa annual population percentage, and x-axis seeing first 3 here are high nitrogen rates, and these are low nitrogen rates, and these are iron rates 0 to 12 to 49 kilogram iron per hectare. Seeing this graph, it's interesting to stand out. In high nitrogen level plotted here, show no difference in poa annual regarding all the iron rates. It stay all the same. There's no significant difference among these 3 rates. But when you look at the low nitrogen plots here, you see that as you increase the iron rates, the poa annual population decreases. It has a negative correlation relationship with iron rates going up and poor annual rates going down. Here's a picture of the plats after one day it was sprayed. Additional data, and we saw difference in quality, color, NDVI, and disease, dot spot being a main one for this study. We're still, the study is still ongoing, so we'll be assessing these data later on. Also, organic matter, pH, tissue micronutrients will be analyzed at the end of the study. So this is one day after the treatments that was put down. As you see, difference color here. And this is 20 days after, same picture taken. As you see, there's no color difference after 20 days. And this yellow green boxes here, these plots are with the low nitrogen with a high ferrous sulfate rate on it. And these boxes in the blue has a high nitrogen with a high iron rates in it. For the results, annual bluegrass population was lower, annual bluegrass population was found in lower seasonal nitrogen. Now under low nitrogen, annual bluegrass population was negatively correlated with iron rates. And fluoropyrimidyl reduced annual bluegrass population. In conclusion, a high seasonal nitrogen, 144 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, which is about 3 pounds of nitrogen per thousand, increases poor annual population regardless of iron rates. In low seasonal nitrogen rates, 24 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, which is about 0.5 pounds, with high iron rates, 49 kilogram, which is 1 pound iron per hectare application, held the poor annual population constant. And fluoropyrimidyl was the only essential component in reducing poor annual population in the study. Still with this conclusion, long-term impact of this program is unknown. There's possible buildup of organic matter, black layer, and a variance within the pH and diseases. With this, I'd like to acknowledge my thesis committee, my advisor, Dr. Kaminsky, and then funding source PTC, CPRO, and USGA for funding this project. Without them, I couldn't be here. And I'd like to thank Tim Lewis and other grad students. With this, I'd like to take any questions you may have. Yes?
When did you start to stop your treatments each year?
We start in May, and then we still have another application to go next week. So we have another one more application for this year. So we went from May to November, beginning of November. But in the first year, we still wasn't sure what I was going to do as a project, so it kind of pushed back a little bit. And the second year, we start early, so we start in early May on the 2011. And 2010 is the one that we started a little later. Yes?
How often was the iron applied?
The question was how often the iron was applied. It was every 3 weeks from May to end of October.
Did that address the water volume to avoid all this black stain?
Yes. The water volume was, like, as I said earlier, it was 10 gallons per thousand because the iron rates was high. We didn't want to see too darken. And also, we used a type B PGR, was a fluoropyrimidyl. Water in was necessary. If we used 10 gallons per thousand, we didn't have to water in after. That's what I thought. Yes?
You know what your initial soil pH was?
Initial soil pH was around between a 6 and 7. It varied from it, but we're interested to see at the end of the study to look at how ammonium sulfate has affected soil pH within the plots.
Is it between 6.0 and 7.0?
Yes. It was arranged in various plots.
Is that's not a USGA root zone?
It was USGA root zone, yes.
Any other questions? Let's thank our speaker.